Dave, I'm a man of routine.
You gotta flow with the spirit sometimes.
Today, as we look at current events around us, we have to consider the days that we live in. And going through Romans, which we've been going through, we've heard Paul declare, "Owe no one anything except to love him." And the love that Paul talks about is active. It's informative. And we live in a day and a time where the truth of Scripture can almost be hidden or overlooked, even mocked among unbelievers. But I pray that that will not be the case here at Calvary Chapel. So allow me to point out how we ought to walk and live as believers. For the days we find ourselves living in, they're troublesome. And many so-called Christians, we find ourselves living with the attitude of tolerance. And we go about our daily lives making the best of all the end times that are going on around us. We find that there's many men calling evil good and good evil. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians a couple of letters, and he instructed them of the times that they find themselves in and how they should walk with the Lord. As for the time, as for the day that we find ourselves in, I think we perhaps need to shake ourselves. If need be, awaken to what's going on around us. And the first letter of Thessalonians is very pertinent. And so for a topical study this morning, which you don't find me doing too often, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And as we see and read the news of today, we find that the Middle East is in much turmoil. And so this chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians is written to be a comfort to the Christian church. Not a fearful time, but a comfort. For we find ourselves living in a day of excitement and fulfillment of Scripture happening all around us. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we'll look at verses 1 through 8. "Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know that the commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus Christ, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion or lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, and we also forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanliness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit." Paul is calling upon this young church at Thessalonica, understand the day and the times that you're living in. Do not be as the world all around you is. Forsake immorality which abounds among you. Abstain from sexual immorality. Be satisfied by the Lord Jesus. Good words for us too. For God has not called us to uncleanliness, but to holiness. God, by and through his Holy Spirit, desires us, his people, to be holy. How could a holy God call us to any other thing than to say, be holy? He can't. He has to call us to holiness. Verses 9 through 12. But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And indeed, you do so towards all brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as has commanded you, that you walk properly towards those who are outside and that you may lack nothing. Verse 11 there is the key verse to this little passage, and it says, aspire to lead a quiet life. We're to mind our own business, is what it's saying. If we mind our own business, it's hard to offend somebody else. When you're silent, there's no offense taken. And this is a great verse that condemns gossip. Now, verses 13 through 18, we're going to spend a little more time there. So let's read verses 13 through 18. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even as so, God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, because of this passage, comfort one another with these words. Paul, who wrote probably half of the New Testament, if you give him the book of Hebrews, he talks about things he doesn't want us to be ignorant of. Spiritual gifts, that's in 1 Corinthians 12:1. Don't be ignorant of spiritual gifts. He says, don't be ignorant of Satan's plans and how he comes against us. 2 Corinthians 2:11. And he says, don't be Israel about Israel's salvation. And that's in Romans 11, 25 and 26. So here in this passage, Paul does not want us to be ignorant of, quote unquote, the rapture. Or, if you don't like the word rapture, the catching away of believing saints. The Thessalonians had deep concerns for their brethren who had fallen asleep or had died. They were concerned they're going to miss the rapture. Today, many churches do not teach about the rapture of the saints. I guess it's too controversial, or perhaps it's maybe a little too radical. But we live in radical days. And we see the storm clouds as they gather in the Middle East. We see Russia, Syria, Iran, and they're all making plans against Israel. Know that our time draws near. This 69 weeks that's spoken of by Daniel the prophet are close to being over. They're close to being an end to them. Jesus himself spoke of end times in Matthew 24. He spoke of pestilence, famines, earthquakes. He didn't say COVID is a pestilence, but it's not hard to see that it is. And he spoke of all of these bringing an end to time. And he says, therefore, don't slumber or sleep. Of all times for a Christian to be alert and watching is today. Now, I have heard of the rapture all of my adult Christian life, and I go back a few years. In my own mind, the catching away was always a little in the future, a few months ahead of us, perhaps even a couple years away. But my alarm clock for the catching away of the saints, it's ringing loud and clear today. I've never in my life been so aware that the rapture could take place at any moment. We're there, folks. We're there. But Paul, he gives us a sequence of the events. And he gives us an order to the events that will soon come upon us. Notice the catching away. It will be with strong, loud, heavenly noise. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of James Earl Jones, or an archangel, my interpretation. James Earl Jones there. You ever heard a deeper voice than that man has? He does have a distinct voice. And then we will hear the trumpet of God. Armies, infantries, they receive orders by the blast of trumpets. When Joshua crossed the Jordan to take Jericho, with the walls collapsing, this happened when the trumpets were blown in loud fashion. The trumpets were loud and the walls fell. Back to the sequence. Believers, those who have died, who have fallen asleep, Jesus will call them first to be with him, to meet him in the air. And we who die in Christ do not lay in a casket until rapture, nor are our ashes in an urn sitting on some mantle. We're called to be with Christ. To be absent from the body is to be present with Christ. And notice there in verse 14, those who have passed away will be with Jesus. We, the raptured, will not go before the dead, but right after the thousands upon thousands of yesteryear believing saints that have been caught up right before us. And then the sounds will begin to kick in. First, there's going to be a loud shout, a voice of an archangel, and he's going to cry out, "Come up here." Then the trumpets of God will be sounding. Lastly, the great catching away, or the upward call of all believers to join the saints of old. Now, that almost seems like a fairy tale. We who are alive and remain will join the believing saints in the air, meeting them in the clouds to be with Jesus. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Quote unquote, the end of the church age. Sounds too good to be true. Sounds too wonderful. We're delivered from this old world and all its woes and all its heartaches and all the trials and all the pandemics and everything like this. But Then Paul says, we're to comfort one another with these words. Comfort. Not a panic, not a worry, but a comfort. We need to encourage and comfort each other of the great day of being caught away or being raptured. That's to be an encouragement. The rapture is so amazing that we can almost be hesitant to share our joy with one another. So let this passage in Thessalonians, let it be our hope. Let us anchor down to the hope of the catching away. Notice the thing that separates us as believers is our believing in the death of Christ and his resurrection. That is hard to believe. Just as like the rapture can be hard to believe if we try to put everything in what we've seen and heard and so forth. The catching away of saints is something we're to hold fast in our beliefs. For we see all the troubles and the pestilence and the famines, wars and rumors of wars that come upon us as a world of Christians. But understand, the church is removed. We're caught away to be in that great wedding feast with our Lord. Jesus himself talked about extraordinary events that happened that were also hard to believe, like the worldwide flood. For the flood of Noah's days was spoken about by Jesus. When Jesus referred to his return, it will be as in the days of Noah. Jesus believed in a worldwide flood. That's good enough for me. And the world tries to discount the flood. They make all kinds of excuses. Well, it was a local flood. Well, it happened in Asia. It didn't happen around the world, and so forth. And as I understand end times, and that is limited, immediately after the church is removed, the great tribulation comes upon this world. A time of God's wrath upon evil, sinful man. But here's the great comfort. We're not appointed to God's wrath. And we'll read about that in chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians. Because we will be out of here. Let me read 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 11. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labors upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light, sons of the day, and we are not of the night or nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. In verse 9 here, for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other, edify one another, just as you also are doing. Verse 2 there, talks about we know perfectly well, we know without a doubt, the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. We're not in darkness. The return of our Lord to take us home to be with him is not a mystery. It's a bona fide fact. So that this day should not overtake us as a thief in the night. Verse 8, be sober. Be children of the day. Be enlightened. Be watching. Verse 9, a great comfort. For God has not appointed us to wrath of the coming tribulation. We're not appointed unto wrath. We had a Lamb of God who bore the cross, took on the wrath of men for our sake. But we are appointed to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's our destiny. That's our ticket to heaven. So perhaps you find the rapture difficult to believe or comprehend. I say to every believing Christian, know perfectly or allow the words of Scripture to take root in your heart and find a place of belief in our lives. Be believing. Enjoy the comfort of the Lord, to be caught up, to be with him. That is to be a comfort to us. We're not to be in worry about the days we live in. And there's a lot of clamoring going on by Christians about the vaccination, about all these different things. We're not to be troubled by these things. They're to come. We're there. We're in the midst of this, a sign of the Lord's return. But we're to be like Thomas when Jesus told him, Thomas, be believing. No longer be unbelieving. Believing is a choice of our will. It's not lining up the pros and the cons on a sheet of paper and then say, well, I think I'll make my decision. No, no. We're to have a believing heart. That's what the Lord has called us to. Believe his word. Believe his scriptures. Be believing. Stop being unbelieving. We have a choice to believe. And this catching away of the saints will begin our eternal presence with Christ, never to be separated from him. When we're caught up, we're to be with the Lord forever. What a glorious day that will be. And I encourage you, comfort one another with these words. Amen? Amen. Let me get you to stand. We'll close in prayer. Father God, you told us no man knows the day or the hour when Jesus would turn and call us to be with him. So, Lord, we don't know the exact day. We know the seasons, O Lord, and we're in the season where you're at the doorstep. You're coming to get us. And so we rejoice and we comfort one another with these words, Lord. This world will not prevail as it is. We will be called to be with you and forever to be with you. What a comfort those words are, Lord. We rejoice in those words. And give us hearts to recognize the day we live in, the times that are all around us, with all the clamoring about all these different wars and rumors of wars and what Russia's doing and what Syria's doing, what Iran is doing, how they're coming against Israel. They just have to come about, Lord. So come quickly, Lord Jesus, is our prayer. We want to be watching and waiting for your return, Lord. We want to be found having faith and hope in you our redemption. We look forward to when we will be forever with you, Lord. So come and get us, your people, Lord, is our prayer. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.